not a finer flower than oil. Starting our missions conference, and our theme this year is taking Jesus to the world. Our song just sang, "Take the name of Jesus with you." That is the job of every Christian, to make sure that we are testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand again this morning. Let's sing a few songs about the Bible this morning. 178, "The Bible Stands." Let's stand together as we sing 178, "The Bible Stands."
Thank you.
Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. We're so glad that you're here. This Wednesday night, we're going to start our missions conference. You're going to have a great time. I want you to come each and every night. Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Thursday night, we have our Parade of Nations. All of our master clubs, children are involved. If you'd like to be involved, I believe there's still time and still costumes left. Please be a part of that. That's always a highlight of our missions conference. Friday night, we have a great night. We have some great missionaries coming. We have the Reimer family going to Liberia, West Africa. And that's a country that's close to my heart in West Africa. I'm thankful for the Reimers. And then we have the Lowell family. I believe actually it's spelt Lowell. It's pronounced Lau. And so if you want to impress them, say hi, Mr. and Mrs. Lau. We're glad you're here. Chris and Rebecca, and they're coming. And they're starting a church in Thompson, Manitoba. And so we're looking forward to hearing from them. And then we have Samuel and Johanna Owens. And they're going to Indonesia. And so we're going to have a great time. We're going to enjoy them. We have all kinds of things going on throughout our conference. On Wednesday morning, we have Brother Owens is preaching our chapel. Mrs. Owens is going to be doing a ladies' tea. We hope that you'll come to that. Any ladies that would like to come to the church, 9 a.m. on Wednesday morning, it's going to be very informal. There's going to be tea and some muffins, nothing more. And then Mrs. Owens is going to be sharing her heart about Indonesia and sharing from the Word of God, having some prayer time with you. You won't want to miss that. That'll be a lot of fun. Thursday night, of course, is our Parade of Nations. And then Saturday night is our missionary banquet. You'll want to come to that. We'll have foods from Indonesia. We'll have foods from Liberia, West Africa. I'm hoping for some fufu and peanut gravy. That is wonderful stuff. And then if you don't know what that is, you have to try it. It is wonderful. And then we'll also have some food from Manitoba. Doesn't that sound good? All right. So that'll be all. And then our keynote speaker is Pastor Brian Thiessen. Brother Thiessen is from our church. Spent many years there on staff, and he was sent from Bethel Baptist Church to establish the Mississauga International Baptist Church. So next Sunday night, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put out the brown box, and if you'd like to write a card of encouragement or put a little gift card in there or something for the Thiessens, we'll be a blessing to them, and we'll treat it like one of our Bethel nights and try to encourage Pastor and Mrs. Thiessen. That'll be a wonderful time. Also next Sunday night, we are going to share with you the video of the life of Miss Olive Britton. It's about a 20-minute video. It's wonderful. You'll really enjoy it. Mrs. Deanna Kirkwood spent many hours. Ray Kirkwood did some narrating on it. They did a wonderful job telling her life. I don't know how they did 39 years and 16 minutes, but they did. And it's just very well done. Lots of detail. And so next Sunday night, we're going to watch that together as a church. You want to be here for that. I've watched it twice now. I've enjoyed it so much. You'll want to be here to take part in that. Also, Saturday night, one more thing for Saturday night. After we're finished eating, we're going to come back into the auditorium. Anybody like to, you don't have to. I understand it's Saturday night. But I have a 20-minute missionary video I'd like to share with you called The Rice Man. It's about a miracle that took place on a mission field, how God used a missionary to accomplish his purposes and see many, many people come to Jesus Christ. And so I'd like to share that video with you, and I thought maybe Saturday night, instead of going home and watching the Leafs lose, we'll watch a missionary video and just enjoy some fellowship here in the auditorium. So if you'd like to do that, we'd love to have you. So there's lots going on. Now, men, if you would like to come while your wives go to ladies' tea and you're home and maybe you're retired and you'd like to come hear Brother Owens preach in chapel, you're more than welcome to come and hear the missionary preach in chapel time as well. And so there's lots of things going on throughout the week. We would love for you to have the opportunity to have a missionary in your home, or you can take them out to eat if you like. But let me encourage you, if you have kids, especially teenagers, get the missionaries in your home if you can. There are still plenty of spots to sign up for a meal if you'd like to host them for a meal. If you say, I just can't afford it, we can help you with that. We just want to make sure that you expose them to your children and make sure that the missionaries are well taken care of. They like to get to know people in the church as well. All right, let's go, Lord, in prayer this morning. Ask His blessing on our service. Brother Baker, you come and lead us.
I'll add just one quick announcement. I was hunted down this morning and told to make sure that we talk about signing up for the missions banquet. There's only about 50 people that have signed up. So if we only set out 50 chairs and we have 100 people show up, we're going to be in a bit of a pickle. So make sure you sign up and get that in the offering, even if you want to take a moment now and fill that out. That'd be great. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for the opportunity to come to this house and worship you. God, I pray that you'd be his pastor and give him wisdom as he preaches to us and help us to have open hearts. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
great thou art.
Guys, already have your costume picked out for the Parade of Nations. Do you remember what country you have? Remember? Do you know what your costume is? What you're dressed up as? Who remembers? That want to tell everyone else? Who remembers what costume you picked out? There's rows and rows of costumes. Do you know Colby?
Hawaii.
Say it so everyone can hear.
Hawaii.
All right. So you're dressed up as a Hawaiian dude. Is that right? Yeah. Billy, do you know? What country are you going to be from? Oh, maybe. You're a cowboy? Do you have a hat? Boots all around? No? Anyone else? We'll do one more here.
Canada.
Oh, you're from... Oh, that's... Are you going to come just like that? Oh, there you go. All right. Now, you guys have a Valentine's party, I think, in junior church. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to go for that, okay? So, let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for your love for boys and girls and the opportunity to work with them. I pray that you'd give us a great day in junior church and help everyone to behave and do well. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand as the children are dismissed this morning. 180, standing on the promises of Christ my King. 180. You may be seated. Thy faithfulness.
Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. Let's take our Bibles, please. Turn to Luke chapter 7 this morning. Luke chapter 7. We're a little bit unscripted today, but I hope you've enjoyed the music. And glad Daniel's home for reading week. I don't know how well he reads, but I know he can play piano. Luke chapter 7. I called him this morning and asked if he would play. And I wish I had known before. I would have maybe taught him a couple more songs than just those two. Luke chapter 7. It's a blessing, isn't it? Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. I don't know that there's a human word that can explain God's faithfulness, so they chose great. But what a great song, and we appreciate, and that's how it should be played well and with majesty. And thank you, Daniel, for having a servant's heart this morning. He'll be back. He's going to sing tonight, too. So you'll have to come back to. Listen, you don't want to leave anyway. It's cold out. Just come and enjoy, and that'll warm you up. Amen. Luke chapter 7. One of my worst nightmares just came true, but the Lord, I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder or what, but while the ladies were singing, I thought, do I have my sermon? And I opened my Bible, and sure enough, I did not. And so I ran to my office real quick. He saw me sneak out and grab my sermon for this morning, or else we would have had a real short service. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees, let's do this. Let's pray first, because I make some comments as we read the Scripture. Let's pray. Father, we are truly grateful for your faithfulness. Lord, maybe we put those songs in the wrong order. After thinking of your faithfulness, maybe we should have sang how great thou art afterwards. But Lord, nonetheless, we're thankful for the ability to worship you in song this morning. Father, we thank you for the gifts and talents that you give that, if rightfully used, would bring glory to your name. So Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be prepared to hear from the Word of God now, not from me, not from any thoughts that I might have, but simply from the messages you have in your Word today, and speak to us through it. And Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to grow, to be strengthened, to be helped. But Lord, if we need to be convicted, we pray that you'd show us that as well. Father, fill me with thy Holy Spirit. I surrender to you. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message this morning is, Thou Gavest Me No Kiss. Thou Gavest Me No Kiss. The Bible says in Luke chapter 7 and verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. He said, why would a Pharisee ever want the Lord Jesus Christ coming into his home? I don't know about you, but there have been times I've gotten in trouble as a husband. I know you don't believe that, but there have been times. And one of the things that my wife does not like is if I call and I say, hey, hon, I'm just letting you know I'm on my way home and somebody's coming with me for supper. She doesn't like that short notice. Not because there's not enough food. God always seems to bless and stretch and whatever. And Emily doesn't eat hardly anything, you know, so we can share a little bit. And that's not the problem. The problem is the house just isn't ready. Can you ladies identify with me at all? I mean, it doesn't matter how clean your house is, it's never clean enough for company. You know how that is. Years ago, my mom and my dad was working full time. My mom was working full time. And so for one day a week, she was trying to help a young lady and brought her in to do a little bit of cleaning, just to give her a couple hours of money to help her out. And when you know, my mom cleaned that house top to bottom before the cleaning girl came. She can't see it like this. That's how we often feel, isn't it? And you would wonder, why would a Pharisee want to have Jesus Christ in his home? I'm not talking about his physical home, I'm talking about his spiritual home now. You would think that a Pharisee had heard enough of what was going on from the message of the Lord Jesus Christ that he wouldn't want him in his home. But this Pharisee decided, and the Bible says not even just didn't just invite him, it says he desired him that he would eat with him. He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Now we have a hint why. Why would the Pharisee let this Lord Jesus Christ in his house? Why would a Pharisee want the teachings of the Savior? Simon, we read in the book of Mark, was a leper who the Lord Jesus Christ had healed. I want to suggest unto you that Simon had already been affected by the Lord's ministry and God had healed him miraculously. Not only that, I believe God was in the process of changing his heart. How many of you know that sometimes our stony, cold, hard hearts take a little bit of time to change? And even though we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and claim Him to be our own, we don't always behave in a Christ-like way. But I want to suggest to you that Simon had been healed of leprosy. And now, as we read, if we were to read up a little bit further in verse 30, the Bible says, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God. He was one of that group that didn't want to hear, but maybe Simon standing in that crowd thought, I know something you don't know, fellas. I knew that I was a leper, that Jesus Christ healed me and God came into my life. And so now I'm going to treat Jesus a little bit different. And so he invites him into his home to eat with him. And not only that, I see a change of heart in the fact that this woman was even allowed in his home. See, a Pharisee wouldn't eat with a sinner. A Pharisee wouldn't let them into his home. A good Jew was to keep away the things that were unclean. But this Pharisee, though he did not like that this woman was touching Jesus, he allowed her in his home in the first place. And so we see that his heart is beginning to change. He's just not there yet. You know, I think years ago, we used to have a little singing group in the church. Marlene Massacre put it together, and it was Mark and Jason Massacre and Ashley Paquin and Pam Paquin, four little ones there, and they got them singing. They called them the Half Notes. They're just a cute little group, but their favorite song was, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. The song talks about how long it took him to make the moon and the stars, just a week, but he's still working on me. How loving and patient he must be. And though Simon, there had been something happen in his life that brought him to the point of inviting Jesus Christ into his home and allowing this woman to come in and have audience with Jesus Christ, he wasn't quite there yet, was he? The Lord Jesus Christ begins to speak to him and he says, Jesus said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Well, I tell you what, I don't know if I'd like that. Can you imagine the audience that they're having with the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus looks across at you and says, hey, I got something to say to you. I tell you what, I'd have chills. The hair would be standing up on the back of my head. I'd be scared to death. Did you ever get called to the principal's office? Yeah? I remember one time I was 7 years old. I remember in second grade and I didn't even know, but I had won the bike at the fair. You remember the Elmer the Elephant safety quiz? What side of the road should you walk down? What side of the road should you bike on? And all these different hand signals. I filled out that quiz and I handed the bike. And I won! And I won a bike! Well, they told the school and they were going to announce it. So they wanted to tell me first. So they comes over the loudspeaker in our classroom. Would Alan Fury please come down to the office? Oh. Hey, that's nothing. If Jesus points his finger and says, I have something to say to you. You better sit up and take notice. And Jesus says to Simon, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. What are you going to say? I don't want to hear it. The truth is, a lot of times we do plug our ears to what the Lord is saying. But Simon wisely said, Master, say on. And boy, doesn't the Lord Jesus Christ love us? He doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't say, you no good, rotten, after I healed you of leprosy, after I cleaned up your life, after I saved your life from a painful and certain death, you go and reject this woman? What makes you think you're any better? No, he doesn't say any of that. Look what he says. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. 1994, Valentine's Day of 1994, 21 years ago, I was at the Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, and Ida had completed 3 years of college and decided to take her graduate diploma, and she couldn't afford to go to the last year, and so she went back and worked for a doctor in Lubbock, Texas. And so we had a long-distance relationship. We weren't even yet engaged in Valentine's Day. We got engaged 3 weeks before we got married, and I don't like long engagements, amen? And so we got engaged over the phone. I drove to Texas, and we got married. That's how it worked. But on Valentine's Day, I was going to class, and one of my classes was a pastoral theology class, which just meant we got together with Pastor Gary Gray, and it was one of our favorite classes. Dr. Gray would teach us how to baptize, and one day we went to a pool. We rented a pool somewhere, and all the guys got in, and we had to baptize each other and learn how to baptize. I think you got to do all those things. He taught us how to do a hospital visit. He told us this, and I found it out to be true. He says, don't ever ask where they had their operation. He says, because they will show you their scar no matter where it is. He was right. I've learned I don't go visit anybody until a day after their surgery. You say, why? Because when they are still groggy and doped up, they'll just start pulling and showing you things. And you don't want to invade their pride. They'll regret that when they wake up. So don't you be there for that. Amen. He taught us about hospital visits. He taught us all kinds of things. And we really enjoyed the class. It was very practical and very much a help. And on my way to class, I went by and I checked my mail. And there was a little card. And it said on this little card, you have a parcel to pick up. Well, I thought, I don't want to pick that parcel up and carry it to my class. I thought it was something maybe from mom or grandma or somebody. You know, it was Valentine's Day after all. I didn't think much of it. So I stuck that card in my suit pocket and I walked by the, went around the corner from where the mailboxes were. And my pastor's wife was working in the mailroom that day. And she says, Al, there's a package for you. I said, Miss Shirley, I got my ticket. I said, I'm going to class right now. I'll pick it up later. She says, okay. As I was walking by the mailroom, out of the corner of my eye, I saw the most gaudy display of balloons, red and pink, with ribbons floating around. And I went, uh-oh, that's for me. Nobody had said it was for me. All it said it was a package. But I knew, just something told me that it was for me. And I knew it was for Minda. I just knew. I don't know why I knew it. I just knew it. So I went to my class and I went up there. And you got to understand, some of you know me. How many of you knew me when I was a Sunday school kid here? How many of you would say I was painfully shy? I was a pretty quiet kid, wasn't I? Come on, help me out, please. Nobody's agreeing with me. If you remember Rambunction, that was my brother, okay? I was the quiet little guy, the shy little guy. But I really was. And I wasn't much for expressions of outward affection. Boy, that scared me. And I thought, oh boy. Well, class got over and I came back down to the mailroom. And as soon as I came back down to the mailroom, I saw a couple in the corner, a guy and a girl, and both of them had these big long lens cameras. And I thought, they're from the yearbook. And I'm about to get my picture taken. I went, oh boy. So I thought, well, I'll just leave this package. Really, those guys can stand there all day if they want. I don't care. I'm going to lunch. So I left and I went to lunch. Wouldn't you know, they walk into the cafeteria with these balloons. I mean, this huge display. There must have been 30 of these things. There was a big box on the bottom tied to it with chocolates and candy and all kinds of things. And a nice card from Ida. And wouldn't you know, I made it in the yearbook holding all these balloons and all the rest. I'm going to tell you, for a shy little guy, I still wasn't all that outspoken then. I mean, I was, listen, the very first time I was here in 1992 on summer staff, Steve Simmermaker was covering the Pastor Strachan had had prostate surgery, and Steve Simmermaker was doing this, helping on the platform. Mr. Epp was preaching that night, and they came to me and said, "Hey, you're leading singing tonight." I said, "Okay, I'll lead singing tonight." We got to the door over here, and we were coming in. We'd had prayer, and we were coming in, and I noticed that the TV camera was sitting out. You remember when we had the TV camera sitting there? And I turned to Mr. Shoemaker and I said, "Why is the camera out tonight?" I said, "That seems odd." He goes, "Something happened with the morning broadcast. It got all mixed up and messed up." So he says, "We're actually recording tonight for television." I said, "Just a second." And I ran out and I threw up. I was scared to death to be in front of people. I was scared to death to be out in front. And yet here they were with these outward signs of affection being showered. My picture being taken in the whole cafeteria watching on. You know, I'm going to be honest with you, as I've grown older, it's changed somewhat, but it's still difficult. And I think for most men, we're not real good about showing outward signs of affection. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ desires them. He rebukes Simon the leper and he says, "Thou gavest me no kiss." You know, the word worship means to direct our affection towards something. It literally means to kiss towards. The Lord Jesus Christ desires our affection. I think the Lord Jesus Christ loves it when we sing songs like, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But I don't know that He likes them so much if we don't mean them. If we're singing it in our heart. If throughout the week when we're spending time in the Word of God and something pricks our heart and we stop and we pray and we give thanks to the Lord and praise Him. Well, I don't know, I was just in the mood to hear some music this morning and I like that song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father." Giving thanks and praise to the Lord for all He's done. How great Thou art. And listen, by the way, you say, why did you have Daniel play those this morning? Because I don't want to hear those songs on a kazoo. I don't mean that in a flippant way. There are some songs that are made for the banjo. Those two are not either of them. I think when we're singing praises to God like that, there ought to be a certain majesty to the music. You want to go out on a truck back and sing, "I'll Fly Away" with the banjo? Go ahead. I like the banjo too. But when I'm going to sing "Great is Thy Faithfulness," we want some pomp and ceremony and some beauty to it. It ought to come from our hearts. It ought to come from a place that we understand what God has done for us. And that's why I believe Simon missed it so badly. And why the Lord perhaps was even heartbroken over his response. And Simon, you've come a little ways. You've invited me to your home. We just came out of meeting with other Pharisees. And Simon had the boldness to accept the Lord Jesus into his home. Well, none of the other Pharisees would. He allowed him to eat with him. He even let this lady come into his house. But Jesus said, "Thou gavest me no kiss." This woman has not stopped kissing my feet. He says, "You didn't wash my feet," which was just a common custom in those days. I know if somebody comes into our home and somebody goes into your home, it's just customary, isn't it? To say, "Would you like a drink? Can I get you some water? Would you like a coffee?" Isn't that just custom? I mean, we say it without even thinking. Can I get you anything? Are you hungry? Can I help you with anything like that? And it's just become our custom. The custom in those days was to wash their feet. They traveled on dusty roads with sandals, and the roads weren't just dusty. They were rocky, and your feet would be sore. And so they would wash their feet. And he said to him, you've gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears. And wipe them with the hairs of her head. You say, "Well, you know, Pastor, the Bible says man looketh on the outward appearance and God looketh on the heart. All He cares about is I love Him right here. Thou gavest me no kiss." I want you to understand this morning, I believe that God is concerned about outward signs of affection. Do you know when the Lord Jesus, or when God gave instruction for the temple to be built, He gave it down to the very last detail. He told them what color the tarp should be. He told them what color the ribbon should be. He told them about the furniture and everything. And you say, why did God care so much? He told them to cover it with gold, the Ark of the Covenant, and to cover all the utensils with gold that it would bring forth the glory of God. You see, why did He care? Because He wanted it to reflect His glory. It was a form of worship. Outward acts of affection are very important to God. But let me say this, they're only valuable when they reflect the true inward feelings. I've been in a service one of the times when we were traveling. We got to be in a church out in Nova Scotia. In the evening service, we were with the Lake family at Bridgewater. But in the morning service, we were with another church. And I can't even remember the name of the church. It was something Harbor, and we were about a half hour from Brother Lake. And so we went to this church. I remember the pastor's name, but I'm not going to share it with you. I don't want to embarrass him. But we went to the church, and the pastor was a young man. He was about 25 years old. He just kind of started there. And I remember during the service, one of the things that struck me is he wasn't comfortable in his own skin. And he taught the Sunday school lesson, and the lesson was fine. He did a good job. But as he would read his Bible, then he'd look up to speak, and he'd close his eyes. His eyes were closed the whole time. And when you're sitting in the second row, you can see it, and it kind of creeped me out. I'm going to be honest with you. I was like, this is different. I mean, he's looking at me, but there's no eyes. Well, then we got into the service time, and you could tell that he was trying to manufacture something that wasn't there. And so he was raising his hands and he was doing things but the problem was it didn't come across genuine. It just didn't have the feeling that it was there. You ever been like that in a service or somewhere? Boy, phony always gets found out. And I said to my wife on the way home, I said, what did you feel about the worship time? She says, I just felt like it was fake. Just felt like people were singing, but there was no heart there. And it just felt, I said, you can tell when the Spirit's moving. And boy, we just sense that feeling. Well, that's an eerie feeling. But you know, we go through the motions so often and we try to say, well, we're worshiping the Lord and we're singing these songs of praise and our hearts are a million miles away. That's not what the outward affection is all about. The outward signs of affection are only valuable when they reflect an inward feeling. Now listen to me and mark this in your minds. Christianity and salvation is not about feelings. But if you're saved, you ought to feel something. It ought to feel good. It ought to be the best feeling in the world. Listen, if a roller coaster can make you feel something, Jesus ought to make you feel something. If loving your spouse and loving your children is a feeling, there ought to be a feeling that when you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is looking for some sign of affection. He says, thou gavest me no kiss. Outward actions, let me give you some principles this morning. Outward actions reflect who we are inside. Outward actions reflect who we are inside. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 3, that a fountain cannot bring forth bitter and sweet water at the same time. You can only have one. It can only bring forth what's in the source. If there's sweet water down there, then sweet water is going to come out. If it's bitter water or sulfur water, it's going to come out. How many of you ever drank sulfur water? That's a terrible thing. Kirkwood Farm has sulfur water. I remember putting hay in the barn for your brother. And we were out there, and it was Jeff Ronson, and it was me, and I think maybe my brother. We didn't know Jeff was allergic to hay. Poor guy, we put him up in the barn, and he was just, I mean, his eyes were swollen. But your brother brought us out some cold water. He says, here, fellas, it's hot today, and here's some cold water. And we drank, we just told, oh, praise the Lord, we started drinking. It was sulfur. We drank it anyway. We just pinched our nose and kept drinking. Is that what you do? Just pinch your nose and keep drinking. You have to hydrate. But the reason the water is sulfur and bitter is because the source is sulfur and bitter. You know, you can only fool people for so long. Eventually, those outward acts and those things that are seen on the outside, that affection you show the Lord Jesus Christ, it comes from the heart. And it is a reflection of who we are inside. There are some people that have such big personalities. Man, they're exciting. You know, I've said this before. It doesn't matter where Brother Baker is in the church. We always know he's in the church. You say, how do you know? Because you can hear his laughter all through the building. It's not reserved. I'll put it that way. It's just gregarious and loud and this big old laugh. I know when he's in the church. I can tell. He's not a quiet guy. That's his personality. And some of you got personalities like that. It's big and it's open and everybody knows who you are and everybody knows when you're around. But when it comes to worshiping Jesus, we sing, victory in Jesus. It's just gone. To me, that's a sign of hypocrisy. What's going on in your heart? Or do you feel that well about everything else in the world and that little about Jesus? Thou gavest me no kiss. Jesus was concerned that the Pharisee's heart was not quite there because his outward actions didn't reflect what he said was going on the inside. Outward actions, second principle, outward actions testify to others what inward feelings never can. Let me explain what I mean. You can be a blood-bought, born-again child of God and nobody will ever know it if you don't stand up and testify. If you're ashamed of telling people you go to church, if you're ashamed of praying for your meal in public, if you're ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, our outward actions testify to others what is going on in our hearts. I just read recently and it reminded of a story of a restaurant in North Carolina that was doing this as a practice. And it reminded me of something that happened several years ago while we were traveling, my wife and I. We were with our kids. We were just on vacation. I guess we were going to Texas or on our way back from Texas or something. And we stopped at a restaurant somewhere just getting gas. And there was a nice little restaurant there. So we stopped there. And right across the aisle from us was a truck driver. And the truck driver was sitting there. And Emily was about 2 years old. I guess Austin was 9 months old. I remember the trip. He was 9 months old. Emily would have been about 3 years old. And Brendan about 4 years old. And so we were sitting there and this truck driver was probably about 30 years old and he was looking over and he was playing with our kids. You know how people play with your kids. Not getting down on the floor and wrestling or playing with toys, but just making eyes at them and making little faces at them and making them laugh. And they were just having a good time. And Emily got particularly infatuated with their little thing that was going on. And so she was playing back and making little faces back. And they were having a good time. Well, our meal came. And so we bowed our heads and we prayed for the meal. And I don't know who prayed. It doesn't matter. We prayed for our meal. And we stayed down there and we prayed. And we prayed for our trip and things that were going on in our lives. And we raised our head. And when you know, we're halfway through our meal. And that fella has done. And he paid. And he came over. And he says, I noticed you guys prayed before you ate. He says, you know, he says, I'm a Christian too. And he says, I've been playing with your kids here. And he says, your little girl, she's been playing right back. And we've had a good time. And he says, could I be a blessing to you? He says, I got a little girl about her age at home. He says, and it's hard for me to go out and work and miss her like this. He says, I've got in my truck, he says, I haul fruit. And he says, fruit cups and frozen fruit cups and frozen things like that. He says, could I give you a bunch of these fruit cups? He says, we have extras in case there's damages. And they tell me that if I don't use them, I can take them home or give them away. And he says, I've got lots left over. We didn't have any damages this trip. He says, I'd like to give. And he gave us all this fruit. And then he says, where do you go to church? And I told him, Faith Baptist Church in Hamilton, Ontario. And I said, Pastor Massacre's our pastor, and we talked about that, and we went through a lot of things, and he says, you know, he says, I'm looking for a church. He says, I'm from, and he told me the town, I don't remember what it was, and I said, you know what, I said, I have a friend that lives in that town, and he goes to church. I said, let me give you his, and we gave him, and next thing I knew, I got a call from my friend. He says, hey, somebody you met on the road came to church on Sunday. He says, seems like a nice fellow, brought his whole family. Thanks for referring us. You know, all we did was pray. That's all we did. We didn't stand up and say to the restaurant, hey, now listen, we're about to pray and we're wonderful Christians and we would like to take any prayer requests that you might have because when I speak, God listens. We didn't do that. We just simply, like we always do, bowed our heads and prayed. Are you ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ that you don't pray publicly? It's amazing what it can do. The story I read was from a little restaurant in North Carolina, and the folks were praying for their meal, and the waitress came over and gave half off their bill because she was so thankful that they prayed openly. And she wanted to be a blessing to them, and it encouraged her spiritually. We never know what we do when we testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those outward actions of affection showing Jesus Christ that we're not ashamed of Him. But we're proud to be a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the third principle. The Bible commands, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Psalm chapter 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hey, we ought to be thankful for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Can you imagine? I pick out little lines from songs a lot of times. I don't know why, but certain things stick with me. I like that last verse of Great is Thy Faithfulness. Pardon for sin. Well, that got you excited. Pardon for sin. Amen? And a peace that endureth. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, has been nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Now we ought to be, I wish I wasn't Baptist. I start dancing. Praise the Lord. Man, it makes you want to leap and shout and sing. What did Jesus Christ do for you? Hey, do you remember the lame man by the gate beautiful? Do you remember him? He looked up to Peter, looking to receive something from him. Remember what Peter said? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know what that guy did? He disobeyed them. He didn't rise up and walk. The Bible says he went leaping and praising God into the temple. He wasn't walking. Hey, these feet ain't made for walking. They're made for leaping and praising. Hey, all they did was heal some broken legs. Jesus Christ saved you from hell. He saved you from sin. That's a whole lot better. Hey, you can go to heaven with broken legs. Do you know that? You can go to heaven with broken legs. You'll get a perfect body one day. They'll be fixed. But you can't go to heaven without Jesus Christ. All they did was heal his legs. Jesus died for you. Man, how are we thanking Him? Is there an outward act of affection going on in your life each and every day? Thou gavest me no kiss. I don't know about you. This will surprise you. This will surprise you. My wife gets upset if I don't kiss her goodnight. You say, why would she want to kiss you? I know. I don't get it either. But we don't go to bed unless we kiss goodnight. And we don't say goodbye in the morning unless we kiss goodbye. She desires that outward sign of affection. She called me yesterday. I took Emily to work, and then I was on my way back, and I was going to stop and get her something for Valentine's Day. And she called me. And she says, could you pick up some milk and bread? And I said, sure. And she goes, and please don't get me anything for Valentine's Day. Men, have you ever fallen into that trap? I said, I got off the phone, and Bethany was with me. And she says, well, I was on speakerphone. We do hands-free in Canada, right? So Bethany could hear. And she says, well, Dad, you were going to the store to get Mom for Valentine's Day. What are you going to do now? I said, I'm still going. And she says, well, she said, don't. She says, you're going to get in trouble for disobeying Mom. I get in trouble for disobeying Mom. I said, well, I'm always in trouble with Mom anyway. But I said, I'm going to tell you this. I'll be in more trouble. I said, this is brownie points. Amen? She appreciates outward signs of affection. So I got her some Lindor chocolates. They're all gone, so don't worry about it. I got her just a little bit of Lindor chocolate, and I got her some cinnamon hearts. She loves those cinnamon hearts. I like them too, so it was wonderful. But we always make sure that there's those outward signs of affection. Because if not, the relationship starts to fail. Jesus said, thou gavest me no kiss. Let the redeemed, if you're saved, say it once in a while. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Years ago, I went to a gospel sing. The bass singer got up and he was telling a story, as they often do, to let their voices rest between songs. And he said this, he says, you know, he says, the other night, he says, I was home, and he says, my little boy, he says, I got him a glass of water, and he says, I told him a bedtime story, and we read the Bible, and we prayed, and I tucked him in, I got him all ready for bed, and he says, just before he went to bed, he says, he drank a whole glass of water. He says, when you know, a half hour later, he says, Daddy, can you bring me a glass of water? And he says, I said, you've already had a glass of water. Go to bed. He says, you know you don't give children too much water right before bed. He says, we didn't want a problem in the middle of the night. He says, about 10 minutes later, he says, Daddy, could I have a glass of water? He says, now you go to bed, and if I hear from you one more time, I'm going to come up here and spank you. About 10 minutes later, he says, Daddy, when you come up to spank me, would you bring me a glass of water? He says, I realized he didn't want a glass of water. He wanted to hear one more time that I love you. So he says, I took him his glass of water, and I crawled into bed with him that night. And he says, I'm on the road so much, and I spent the night there hugging my son. And then he said this, he says, I wonder, does Jesus just want to hear one more time that we love him? He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He wants to hear it. He desired it from Simon, and he desires it from us. Outward actions, think about this, the outward action of your affection may be all you have to offer. It may be all you have. I learned a long time ago, we were first married. My wife wasn't able to work in this country. I came up to Canada and I was offered a job for $50 a week. Now, you kids are saying, well, you're old. I mean, that was a lot of money back then. That wasn't any money back then. My rent was $600 a month for my apartment. I had a car payment. I had to put gas in that car. We were just trusting the Lord to take care of us. My wife couldn't work. And so I got a little job in a grocery store besides that $50. I mean, you shouldn't moonlight when you're making that kind of money. I understand. But I had to. So I went and got another job, and I was making $250 a week at that job. And so $300 a week we were living on. And God supplied. And we praise the Lord for that. But I learned back in those days that I couldn't always buy my wife a dozen roses. Why is it that February the 12th, roses are $12.99 a dozen, but February 13th and 14th, they're $25.99 a dozen? They're the same roses, but they just jacked those prices up. And I couldn't always afford to buy her roses, and I couldn't afford always to buy her chocolates or a gift or anything like that. I mean, I remember even our first Christmas, we didn't have very much, you know. It was weird. No lie, I opened up a gift at Christmas one year, and what I got that year was underwear. It's because we bought what we needed. We didn't have all the money in the world. But I learned this. We could always write a note. We could always give a phone call. We could always say, I love you. There was always a way to show affection and care and concern without spending. Do you know that sometimes all you have to offer the Lord is affection? I can't understand why the Lord would want anything from me. Why He would want to use our talents and gifts and things. I can't play the piano like Daniel can, and I can't sing like Judy can, and I can't. You know, God has given a specific set of skills to you, and we're to use them for the Lord. But all we can give them is our affection. But can I tell you a secret? That's the number one thing He wants. Do you know the churches of Macedonia and Achaia? Do you know why they gave out of their poverty? Because they first gave themselves to the Lord. That's what He wants. He wants you. He wants your love. He wants your affection. I'll tell you, we've all, many in this room have raised teenagers, and you go through those spells where, you don't know if they love you or hate you. You know, you ever had that? I've heard kids. I've been in the grocery store. I thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know how I'd handle it. I've never had one of my kids say they hate me. Praise the Lord. But for the grace of God, I've been in the grocery stores where I've heard kids, can I have that chocolate bar? No, you can't have that. I hate you. Really? Over a chocolate bar? Well, that must be heartbreaking to a parent. God just says, I want your affection. Can you imagine how he must feel when his children don't love him? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? I want you to notice the last principle this morning. God doesn't just desire, but I believe he enjoys our affection. Look at our text in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. I don't know about you, but from that passage, I get that Jesus appreciated it. He was enjoying it. He noticed every little detail. It wasn't just, wow, she washed my feet. No, she washed them with her tears and she dried them with her hair. My head you didn't anoint with oil, but this woman anointed my feet with ointment. Thou gavest me no kiss, but since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Jesus was enjoying the affection that he was having heaped upon him. What I noticed from the passage is that the affection that was given caused their relationship to grow. By the way, Jesus knew exactly who she was before she ever walked in the door. But as this moment of affection began to develop, Jesus had her sins, and you can almost see him look at her, which are many, are forgiven. They're gone. Just simply because you decided to come and have a relationship with me. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. I dare say that that relationship was started and began to grow into a very special relationship, like perhaps none other we see in the Bible. As she poured out her heart, not just inwardly, not just in prayer, not just in a private closet somewhere, but she openly walked into a Pharisee's house and began to heap affection upon her Savior. And give them, it didn't matter that it was an inappropriate time. It didn't matter that it was an inappropriate place. It didn't matter that she wasn't invited. She simply walked in and said, I am going to heap affection upon my Savior. Well, I'm so tired of the politically correct crowd telling us when and when we can't worship the Lord. Telling us how we shouldn't. Well, you can pray, but don't pray in Jesus' name, baloney. That's the name above every name. And your knees are going to bow to him as well. Thou gavest me no kiss. Would the Lord Jesus Christ say that to you today? When we stand before Christ, we stand before God, will he look at us and say, I remember that Sunday in church. You didn't give me any kiss that day. You didn't show me any affection. You just went through the motions. Even Peter, he had to ask three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? What's he saying to your heart today? I know we're late this morning, but I'm going to ask Judy Judge to come. She's going to sing a song. It'll just take a couple minutes before we have our invitation. It goes so well with our message this morning about the lady. It's a song about the lady that brought the alabaster box. Listen as she sings.
she made her way to Jesus, she stumbled through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain, some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, there's no place here.
Let's stand this morning and sing a hymn of invitation. We're going to sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus, 627. We'll just open the altars up if you'd like to come and pray. Please do. And ask yourself the question, am I showing affection to the Lord? Am I honoring Him, not just in my heart, but outwardly, that others may know that I love the Lord Jesus Christ? 627, Oh, How I Love Jesus.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth.
Evening, we pray in my holy name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Choir practice at 4:30, church at 6:00.